Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yat e chasin so DA Kalnez. Kuron hitla halne. I am actually on the highway between coming back from Chechilka, New Mexico, which is about maybe 35 miles south of Gallup, New Mexico. And we are back on the air, and this time we are going to be chatting as the Kalnez for Navajo Nation Rez Prez. So all those that are joining us this evening, for those who have joined us, and I'm going to try to have, we are remote, and my studio is actually at a different location, so we'll have to communicate somehow to try to get into the studio and then get you on air. But and I hope I don't lose connection. You know what? I mean, this is one of the first things that I'm going to resolve when I become the president of the Navajo Nation, is to make sure that every angle, every house has internet connection, because I have been having all sorts of issues when I've been out here on the road. This is Kalnez, and we are now on the air, internet radio, and we're going to continue to chat. And we are actually right next to driving between Gallup and Yat-Tehe. There's the Navajo Shopping Center right next to us, and I see a billboard has a golden arches on there. And we have been on the road since early this morning. We have been canvassing the entire Navajo Nation. Yesterday we went all the way up to Bodaway Gap and, Coal Mine Mesa. We have also canvassed Tuba City. We met some incredible who are there. So the reason why that I'm pausing on the radio is simply because I want to make sure that I'm still on air. But I hope that we're going to remain connected here. Anyway, for all those that have not, somebody comes on there. Okay, so we've got a connection to the studio, which is away from location. Somebody gets online, then it's relayed back to me, and that sort of a thing. But anyway, welcome everybody. We are that time of the year where there's some absolutely important issues that we're talking about. And let me give you some updates. I started Kalnez, my Facebook page, about 8 years ago. Then I started the Native American Celebration in the Park. I did the Navajo Chamber of Commerce. I did the Utah Native American Chamber of Commerce. I already said that. And then I've got the Native American Celebration and Facebook page, the group page, and the list just goes on. And I have built my philosophy on the air has been pretty much the same. And that is that one single person by the name of Kalnez, myself, I have built an audience, years. About 4 years ago, I started, or actually before that, 4.5 years ago, I started the Politics on Navajo Nation as a public service, having no intention that I would be running for the president of the Navajo Nation. Facebook page simply for one reason. And that one reason is to begin to talk about politics and to really talk about the issues that are pertaining to the Navajo Nation. So I've been pushing that. and pushing that. That's public record. I've been doing that, and the radio show started about last July, nearly 1 year ago. And again, I was not thinking about becoming a candidate. I listen. I brought a lot of you guys on. We have built the Facebook page all the way from, or if somebody called, ever called me. Okay. So anyway, I'm going to have some pauses here because, like I said, we are here literally on the res, on the road with the Navajo Nation Res Prez candidate, Kel Nez. And we are on the highway, literally. We're going to Tohatchee. We heard about an incident, and I'm going to check it out for myself. But anyway, back to the Facebook story. A lot of people just recently has logged on and asked for my friend, and I added them, and I added lots of people. The Facebook page, Politics on the Navajo Nation, is a group page. That page is invited by myself and other people, and we have built an audience of over 10,000. And that's been a real honor. It really has been an incredible journey to make connection with all of you, and I appreciate that. And this entire time, people have come on board, and then I became a candidate. Immediately after I became the candidate, I immediately turned the radio show over. But because of some technical issues and yada, 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 on the Facebook page, I decided just to continue to admin. But that's not to say that I'm going to go out and hoard that, hog the whole thing. I have invited it. There, you see other candidates' names on there, and they're welcome to post. And you have seen many other candidates. But now, none of these issues arose 4 years ago. But now the issues are arising. Hold on 1 second, everybody. I am now going to go down a hill. So I might get disconnected, but I'm going to call you guys back. So just for your information, and then none of these issues ever came up. But now, it's political season. So, right, and it's fine. You have the freedom and the flexibility to go out and to support other candidates that you feel is of, that fits what you are looking for. And so I have not refrained, but yet at the same time, I'll just free that. As openly as I have possibly been, can be to other candidates to post. So I need to make this disclaimer that I know I have been doing politics on a national level, state level, with senators, congressmen, governors, and mayors, legislature off the Navajo Nation, as well as I've done politics on the Navajo Nation. I know exactly what is ethical and what is not ethical, okay? And so, therefore, it's open. So I needed to get that out of the way, and we're going to continue to talk about this. And it looks like I still have connection, and I hope it's still clear on that end. Again, you're listening to Kel Nez, the Navajo Nation presidential candidate 2014. And again, my name is Kel Nez, and I'll give you all sorts of updates. Tomorrow night is going to be the Tuba City Forum, which I am going to be there, and I'm sure that everybody is also going to be there. So I wanted to just let you know where I'm at, what I'm doing, what my intentions are, those issues that we have talked about, before I became a candidate. Those are still issues that I'm looking at. Those are issues that I'm continuing to push. I'm out here literally, trying to hit every event that I possibly can, but more so really meeting with the grassroots people. Now, the message has been very, very consistent, and that is that exactly what we all suspect, and that is that they're looking for I'm not going to say change. But what I'm saying is that they are looking for a new and a fresh face and a person who is willing, who has seen and has experienced both sides of the world, on the reservation and as well as off the reservation. Now, I don't need to go in there and pound that. The reason why that I decided to run was that I looked at the pool. I looked at the pool of candidates. And I care about the Navajo Nation just as much as you do. I care about the future of the Navajo Nation just as much as you do. I am Navajo. Whether I live on the Navajo Nation or not, I care about the Navajo Nation. I care about the elderly. I care about the middle age. I care about the youth. Another pause because I'm checking this, make sure I have connection. So we are going to, we're driving, we just drove right past Mexican Springs, and we're on our way to Tohatchee. And I still hope that we can have, I'm sitting here also looking at the Navajo Times. So this is Cal Nez, and I just happen to be one of the candidates for the office of the Navajo Nation President. There are 17 people that are running. And again, it goes back to when I started out, I looked at the pool. And of course, I feel, and I honestly will stand by this, I believe the Navajo Nation deserves the best. The best in terms of what services and what in terms of the economic growth that we need to begin to seriously look at. I mean, look at us. Every time you read on Facebook, people are saying the Navajo Nation is a third world country. Okay, what does that mean? Have we become so desensitized to that we no longer really mean what it is? And so if we're so aware of being a third world country, then why is it that a lot of stuff hasn't changed? I'll give you an example. I left the Navajo Nation about 35 years ago. And my grandmother lives off the highway, and just like the way it is, I'm sitting here looking, here's a paved road, and there's the junction, there's a little cattle guard with a fence, and there's a dirt road that runs off about several miles. And one of the things that I drove all the way down there. And, I mean, we drove back and forth, and I walked back and forth when I was going to school at Newcomb. Dirt road. I left there. I drove on the dirt road on the way to when I was getting on the placement bus. 35 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, I went there. And interesting thing, I come back. And the only change that I see at my house is I see a telephone line and a electrical poles that are going down to my aunt's house. Aside from that, still dirt road, some running water. Now, in terms of, shouldn't there be a road? Shouldn't there be some sort of a zoning? And shouldn't there be some sort of an organization, not only just for my home, but for all of the homes across the Navajo Nation? And one thing that I'm discovering that I've always known is that the Navajo Nation is absolutely a monstrous place. And I am now looking towards the Tohatchi, and I see the mountain, I see the towers up there, and just a few weeks ago, there was just a monstrous plume of smoke that was going through here. Everybody panicked. It was one of the saddest things. And we're looking at today, I don't see any smoke, and which is really, really a good sign. And I am so absolutely proud of the firefighters, the brave people, Navajos, and other services from all over the different parts of the United States who have come in to assist to put this fire out, the helicopters and everybody. And then not only that, the firefighters who did that, but also the people who have reached out, at the local level, bringing water, supplies, whatever it was that you donated. And that was one of the things that I know that Navajo people, when we put aside our differences, we can unite and we can move literally mountains, if you will, stop a fire. And so those sorts of things took place. I guess there was different drop-off locations. And we are headed over there right now to find out what some of these locations. And right in front of us, some guy is now, he swings out and he's going the other way to gallop, and some of these people, if they know how to pass, you know what, Navos, if you're passing on the highway, please make sure you know what you're doing. Just because you have an opening and you can steer the car left or right doesn't mean that you just drive out to the left lane and then get back to the other side while putting the person that's driving towards you in danger. Wow, I've seen this so many times. So anyway, kudo ad kal nez anonhidit ne. And so I'm just going to continue to, and I hope there are other callers and callers out there. You're welcome to call in. And if you look at the internet, you're welcome to call in and voice your opinion. Of course, I'm going to eventually evolve to, there's lots and lots and lots and lots of concepts and ideas and platform ideas and things that you're concerned about. I'm sure that's pretty similar to what I've heard out there while I've been traveling and canvassing the whole Navajo Nation. And just for your information, I just listened to Joe Shirley Jr.'s rally on the radio. I also heard the incumbent, his radio program. And quite interesting. And, you know, those two segments show me one thing, that the Navajo Nation, we are certainly ready for, again, a fresh and new start. Because I know that the younger generation, I see them. Kon hisha e nishe kore kehoni tini chini tlini. Nishe, we want to help. Nishe to la na nitsin. What about the ones that went to school and having the resume? So, and I've seen that. And I hope I still have connection. Well, it looks like I still have connection here. And we are now in Tohatchee, New Mexico. And those that are familiar with the Navajo Nation, we just drove right past the Navajo Petroleum and Hogan Deli. And Hogan Deli is one of the logos that I designed while Navajo Petroleum. And there is Giant. And by the way, gas is $3.57. There's Choshke Boarding School right over here. So we are going to a location talking about, you know, we're talking about the fire. And thank goodness that the fire is out. And I think the fire is also a huge topic that should be brought out to the forefront, because I think, in essence, it really shows what the readiness and the ability to get together, to help, to unite, to be able to, how ready is Eastern Agency, Southern, Western, Central, Northern, and all of them. And I think there's a lot of loopholes. There is, again, there's central government, and there's the local government, and then, of course, there's the county and state. So we have a lot of issues where we need to address how many of those jurisdictional areas. And unfortunately, in these cases, these type of things do come out. And have we addressed them? And is there a protocol that the Navajo Nation has established? Well, I've looked at this thing. I've looked at it as a candidate. And I'm seeing... Hold on 1 second. Jason, I'm still connected. I am still connected. So, and so anyway, so back to the discussion. But before I go any further, for the families that are out there on the mountains, I read some horror stories about homes burning down. I'm sure that log homes, a lot of us have grown up in, and areas of where might have represented our family, our grandmothers, our memories of the past. And it really, really brings us back to our roots when we go up on the mountains. You cannot get any further from civilization than going out there like I usually do. And heaven forbid, I never hope that my area ever gets affected like the ones that did here. I am sorry, my people. I am sorry that those type of things have happened. I also am very much I absolutely send my sincere concern for you. It should have anything have happened to your livestock. I know a lot of places have been displaced. And so all those families, wherever you are, that were affected, my prayers go out to you. And so I will get more into that at one of my rallies. And my philosophy on the campaign trail, I will also get into that. And for those who are very much interested in listening to politics on my candidacy, you're welcome to call me at any time and let's talk. And it looks like I'm still connected, and I hope it's still very clear. We are now going on our way to Naschiti, and I still hope that I can get I can still get connection. So I'm looking way out there, partly cloudy, and the res, we're driving on the highway. I'm sitting in the back seat. I've got my campaign hat. On how and what we're seeing. We went out, for instance, like yesterday to Bodaway Gap. We ran into former chairman Peter McDonald. We ran into numerous very well-known and very seasoned politicians. And the accolades and the congratulations and the solitude and the happiness and the how much they look invigorated, how much even the elderly. I mean, it's just been an absolutely wonderful journey. Ahead on ni corner the Navajo people. Kele kodo ibini nasa di ala adina nishwalye ero tau konda seza tantin gong konda ya teko like an air of Navajo Nation paid a well-organized community. Our podcast from my home, the grassroots in the audience. To me, they're saying, ciao. Everybody from all the way under, we're sitting here at the basis of beautiful mountain. Just absolutely incredible. And all those people who have now joined the movement, I welcome you. I thank you. I believe that we're on the right track. Now, the thing that we need to keep doing is going out there and reaching out to all the other potential people that can join. Because I tell you what, it's not only just people here on the Navajo Nation. I believe also, in addition to the grassroots people, I know the grassroots people are the key, and they are the ones that dictate exactly who, what, where, when. But I also know that the younger generation also are looking for a new and better way. They're looking for an opportunity. So all of those that are out there, I urge, and again, whether I'm a candidate or not, I would still come to you and say, you guys register. It's as easy as a call, or if you have a local registrar at your local or in your town area. And through the phone hand, that is or even the office. And you will be sent some information. Remember, you've got to be registered by a certain time. It has to be in the office, I believe, by... Okay. The wonders of cell phone connection. That was just... I guess I ran into a dead spot just right between... on the way... Location for this drop-off is over in Naschiti. So I am going to go there, and I'm looking to my left, ladies and gentlemen. This is absolutely live reporting right now. It is 6:30 New Mexico time, and we are literally at mileposts. Oh, okay. And I can. And we are at milepost number 36. And some yellow signs, some warnings. We're approaching Nosh Chitty. And to my left, I see Choshkay Mountain. I see that it looks like predominantly majority of the fire is out. But it looks like there's still some hot spots, just very little smoke that are just a few areas that are smoldering. And I'm sure that there's crews out there trying to take it out. And nothing really, a huge bellowing smoke that we saw the other day. And, of course, the mountain is silhouetted towards me. And I don't know how much of that is burnt timber. But we know the devastation is there. We know a lot of people have been displaced. And nonetheless, I mean, that area needs to be reseeded. Needs to be. There's so much work to do, and somewhere in the process, you know, to help people rebuild their lives up there. And the reason why I'm pausing, I'm looking, and I can see just smoke, nothing huge. And thank goodness that's out, and I'm sure there's people up there still working as hard as they can to put some of those fires out. So, again, this is Cal Nez, and you are listening to Navajo Internet Radio. This is my second radio show, and I thank you for being here with us, and I'm not sure how many people are listening in, and I hope there's lots, because this is part of the movement. This is Cal Nez, and I am the candidate for the Navajo Nation president, and I would like to engage and talk to you about some of your issues. I do have a platform, and here's one of the things that's been very, very, very interesting that's been happening. You know, right prior to entering the Rex, the politics down here has been pretty much as this. And who I am is that I believe in being creative. I want to something, make it a little different so that all a piece of rock and get it into something that is leather. That's just my nature. I'm an artist. I create things. So I tend to look at things from a very different angle. And then you throw business into that. So most of my approach on the Navajo Nation politics has been that I want to do something very different. I introduce the word I use in one event. And that one event was called the Meet and Greet, the candidates. Well, since then, almost every candidate has listed on their website, Meet and Greet. And great. Everybody chooses to do whatever they want to. I also have noticed that there's certain new ideology that I'm bringing in, economic development, business. And now I'm seeing even candidates that I know has never operated a day of business in their careers are now putting themselves as private business owners. And all of a sudden, when giving out handouts or actually promoting and working with what's been ongoing all these years, they are, you know what, You know what? Certainly every community, there's got to be that give and take of what is public service and what is not. But mostly, as a government, you know, you got to try to get the Navajo Nation to become self-sufficient and self-reliant. And my message being self-sufficient and self-reliant. And that's how I've been doing it. Not that, okay, on lahat osan tau ade, well, that was never my teaching. So, okay, there's a sign, and we're here in Nashchiri. Says, thank you, firefighters, at one of the churches here. We just passed, we're on the old road. We're driving up to Express. We see the old trading post, Nashchiri trading post. And we're driving. There's a white truck approaching, coming up over the hill. Next to us. And Nashchiri Elementary is all closed in. I believe we're supposed to go to the Nashchiri Chapter House. And we're driving up here. We're making a U-turn. 4 place that's supposed to be all up in arms about who took supplies and who didn't take the supplies. I don't see very much commotion because I just want to go on site and go in there and interview some of these people and really find out what happened. Okay, we just turned, and now we're going facing directly west into Nashchiri Elementary. Nashchiri School, Elementary School, we just drove past it. There's a big cell tower, so I should be getting really good reception. And here we are. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you to all the firefighters. Nashchiri Chapter, Senior Citizen Chapter House. Okay. My sister will send pictures, and we're going to stop. We're pulling in. I see a red truck. About 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 cars out there. And I'm stepping out of the car. This is Cal Nez. So you guys asked me if things are true. Well, let's find out firsthand. I see a gentleman who has a cowboy football T-shirt hauling out water. A telephone pole. I'm stepping up on the sidewalk. And there's a vehicle here that has about whole back full of water. And another water is going in. So, Spirit of the Navajo Nation, United We Stand, Nashchiri Chapter. And, how are you?
Busy and tired. Very busy and tired.
Oh, really? So what's your name?
My name is Gloria.
Gloria? Oh, well, I'm just driving all the way in from down there, just been on the road, and we're just hearing about the water and supplies being hauled out and moved somewhere else. So I'm coming by to find out who is hauling the supplies and why and where is it going to.
I don't know. You have the information record for that, but I have no idea.
So who's the person I need to talk to?
I believe they're in Newcomb right now. They should be back soon. The commander for alert. The person that's in charge right now, so they're on a break for lunch. Their lunch break, but they're out there.
So whose vehicle is that one right there?
I have no idea.
Whose vehicle is that one? You know? You know whose vehicle that is?
Sure.
Yeah.
Somebody.
So, right now, again, you're listening to Cal Nez on my radio show, Navajo Internet Radio, and we're standing outside the Nazchidi chapter, and I've got several people walking around, and nobody seems to know who that car belongs to, and they're hauling out water, and some more vehicles are driving in. I've got some people here. I've got this lady here in a bright fluorescent outfit, and how are you? Yate, yeah. Oh, my name is Cal Nez, and we are on the radio right now, and I have a radio show and a lot of inquiries on the internet, Facebook, and basically saying that waters and supplies were being moved, and people were wondering why that was taking place, and I'm just here to find out what was going on. Okay.
With all the supplies that we have right now, it's already earmarked for the evacuees that still haven't picked up their supplies, as well as we're still taking care of EMTs, some firefighters that come in, emergency personnel. And with WonderRock coming in trying to take over and confiscate all the donations, I understand they did that to Tohatchee already. And right now, as we're speaking, they did that to Newcomb High School right now. So we're afraid, and they're going to be on their way right now. So we're going to disseminate this to them where it needs to go.
Oh, so you're actually locally from here.
Yes.
So you're locally.
Yes.
And so... can you clarify exactly what you mean by that Window Rock has come in? What exactly do you mean by that? You mentioned Newcomb, you mentioned Tohatchee.
Well, what happened was the Navajo Nation president has put a stop on all donations as far as we know. But Ground Zero is here, and we have contacted so many corporation businesses throughout. A lot of them had called saying that they're going to make donations, and semi-trucks were on their way. I don't know how many semi-trucks have been intercepted, and they have all gone to Fort Defiance. As far as I know, that's where they are. Whereas all those noise donations were supposed to be here for the people, and yet they're in Window Rock, Fort Defiance, right now. What is going on? You know, the people are crying. The people are in pain here, and yet they're being denied of these donations that were supposed to be given to them. We are victims. I'm a victim. And as victim, we're still volunteering here. Since day one, we've been here. We've put in over 12, 14 hours a day being here among our people, and they have not been here to help our people.
Wow. Well, you know, again, you know, here is a classic situation about how central government and localized and realizing what the localized needs are. Who do you suppose authorized from Window Rock to come down here and to take supplies from here? Where do you think that order came from?
Well, there's a lady by the name of Rose Whitehair. I think that she's with 4th Street. She's the one that came through Wednesday and then telling us that all donations that should be redirected through Window Rock, monetary donations should be through Window Rock. And heaven knows if we're going to ever see those where the people are hurting here.
So a lot of, well, you know, obviously it just makes sense. Again, This is Cal Nez, and we are here in Nosh Chitty Chapter House, and we're doing the Internet Navajo Radio or Navajo Internet Radio, and it's being broadcast all over the Internet world. And I just was contacted to find out what was going on, and we just happened to be canvassing down here. And I welcome each and every one of you listeners out here. We're kind of at the very end of this. It looks like the fire smoldering just somewhat a little bit here. And it looks to me like something else, which is totally, in my opinion, is unnecessary, that shouldn't be happening, is to allow the local government to be able to know who are affected, who, what the money or the monies or whatever comes in, supplies, food and such like that, should be able to be dispersed by the local people because they know who's affected and who's not affected. But instead, from what I'm hearing, is that because of the fire, you know, that an office in Window Rock has now coming out here, and they basically have already cleaned out three communities. And so Nosh Chitty, you know, it looks to me like they're trying to just take it to where they believe would be, quote, protected from several central government so they can give it to where and the people who really need it. And that hasn't happened. And I've got this very nice lady here and who has just basically given me an update. And I'm really sorry that this is happening. And for those that are just joining us right now, again, welcome. And I'm going to bring her back on the air and identify yourself and just tell us what's going on, because people are now beginning to call in, as I'm understanding, on the radio.
Oh, yeah, and thank you. She is Arlene Shorty. She is also a nurse. She is also I've been in charge of the donations as a coordinator since day one, and we've been here since this is the seventh day that we've been doing this, and we've got so many amount of donations, and we were able to disperse those to our people. And yet, we're not done. We're not done. A lot of our evacuees, a lot of our victims who were affected are still not served yet. And then we're not just focusing on Nosh Chitty. We've served Sheep Springs, Newcomb. It's crazy with what Window Rock is trying to do to these communities. We had some of our evacuees at Tohatchee. And look what they did. They shut them down. And yet now those evacuees were rerouted to Newcomb. That's where they were sheltered. Now Newcomb is shut down right now. And then where are those evacuees going to go? It's frustrating. It's caused a lot of headache. Those of us that had work here, day in, day out. We had youth from all over who donated their time to do what they need to do and helping our community. And, I mean, this is nonsense. This is crazy. I don't think Navajo Nation should step in and try to stop. We are a certified chapter. We are independent. The Nosh Chitty chapter is independent. Why are they still holding on to us? Why are they trying to dictate what we're supposed to do? They don't know who's affected. They don't know these people. They are suffering. They are crying. They lost some homes. Some of them lost their farms. Some of them don't know if they still have their homes. And there's only certain areas that have been limited. And some of the people went back up there. And the rest of the areas, you know, those people, I feel sorry for them. Why can't they understand that? It's frustrating each and every one of us. We're trying to do what we can to help our people, and yet it's like we already have open wounds, and now they're pouring salt on it. It's crazy. Either that or another analogy, we're already down, and they're trying to kick us. That's what.
Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, ada daisen mas fine kuro o enichin. Nietzsche, Kuroe, I'm really kind of, you know, basically the bottom line is that this shouldn't be happening. Kuroe, on this Navajo Internet Radio. My name is Cal Nez, and I'm down here, and I've had a lot of people suggest that I go and come down here and find out exactly what's going on. Fortunately, the good thing about this is that the fire is pretty down. Looks like there's still some hot spots up there. It's about 60% contained. It's still very volatile. Anytime the wind could blow up and just blow this thing out of proportion again, and we hope and pray that doesn't happen. But obviously, you know, that there's different type of home range. We've got people that live down here, move up on the mountain during the summertime, and then they come down. So whether they have in two cases, whether, you know, have two homes or not, the fact of the matter is this, that they vacated this one to move up on, and all their supplies are gone. Now they're looking to this chapter house or other chapter house to be able to contain or get some of their supplies. And these donations, whatever it is that they brought down here to be able to be earmarked. But what's happening is what I'm hearing now is that over that hill, probably about another hour to Window Rock, an hour and a half, that's how far away they have moved the supplies that were supposed to be used here locally. So even like right now, it doesn't make sense why they have to move it over there. Why didn't they just allow the local chapters here to take care of that? Central government. And not only that, for instance, what are they going to do? What do you suppose they're going to do with it now? It doesn't make sense. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, the funny thing is, one thing I heard, I can't remember who said that from Winter Rock, was that there's going to be other disasters. I mean, who would say that? I would say. It's not fair. I mean, this thing is for this fire for Nash Chitty community. And we are doing what we can. Koya and Nahote emergency has leaked. They consider that. I don't understand that.
Well, there you heard it. I'm also looking over here at some other supplies. We have moisturizers. And let's go inside and see what the other supplies are that are here, just to give you, it is now about 7 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen. We got a whole case of Gatorade right here. And now it's Chitty. And, okay, we're right inside of the container here. We got some water still here on the floor, bottled water, a very well-organized map here of where the fires went. Looks like we got some very good updates on it. You got Facebook, and I am standing right here at the back, and it is about maybe 40 feet long by about 12 feet wide area. There is about maybe 15, so maybe about 45, 60 cases, 60, 70, 80, 90 cases of water and Gatorade and various different drinks here, and cola. We've got you know, I'm seeing some luncheon meat, spam, things, HON. Well, I mean, those are food items. There's coffee, coffee mates. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of spam. You know, of course, the Navajo people love that. And cereal. And, I mean, this could, honestly, feed probably what? I'd say easily for about a week, probably about 15 to 20 families or even that, because they live on, and a whole bunch of 1 gallon water. So, but hey, Navajo people, even baby supplies, baby lotions, wow. Toothbrush, toothpaste, potatoes, and beans. You know, yeah, I mean, this whole place could be a self-sustaining place. And then tent, again, I mean, I see a bag of rice. So, and okay, yeah, so one family. So imagine, that's one box, and yeah, that they could live on that for quite a while. And right now, if you go, yeah, based on that, we can probably do about easily. It's just one location. We've got location down in Tohatchee. We've got another location up in Newcomb, and another Sheep Springs. So Window Rock came in and they took. So whoever gave us heads up that this was taking place was exactly what has happened. And again, with heavy heart, I'm sitting here looking at the actual Tohatchee. Or actually Nosh Chitty, there's the chapter house, and we've got the planned incident commander names, a very well organized. And so it looks to me like, really, when I ask some of these people where they're going with it, they're basically saying, well, you know, now I know why, because they're trying to take these supplies so that it wouldn't happen to what happened to Tohatchee and the other communities, where central government came in and they took it because they said, we're going to, quote, save it and store it for another disaster. And you heard this lady that I just interviewed, what, really? That's insinuating. Let these people take care of their own business here and just help them put that fire out. How that they can reconnect, rebuild, that's going to be quite a ways off. But for now, they need some peace, they need some quiet, they need some help and condolences, whatever it's going to take. So I'm here again, and I want to thank all you listeners. This is Cal Nez on location in Nosh Chitty Chapter House. So for those that are just joining us, and somebody posted on Facebook and said, hey, is this really happening? So again, rather than jumping back into and explain this, I would rather have this fine lady who is locally from here, obviously very, very concerned citizen. So I'll give her another time. I know she's being redundant, but yet at the same time, there's a lot of people that are just joining us. Thank you very much for being with us.
Again, thank you so much, listeners out there, and I'm glad, you know, we're taking the citizen media as many media attention that is needed to try to stop the Navajo Nation, what they're doing. It's not fair. I mean, what they're doing to us, you hear it out there, and people, I know a lot of people are out there wondering what is going on. And I'm on Facebook. I've seen so many positive remarks. And, you know, being here every day, 12 hours a day, it's been hard. And to sit here and cry with our elders, stand outside, do nothing but look at our mountain and the smoke. And I mean, and yet, what is Navajo? Where is Navajo Nation? They haven't been really here with us to shed tears with us, to say, we need, how can we help you? They're not saying that to us, questioning that. How can we help you? What can we do? They're not saying that to us. And we have people that were sheltered here. Only a certain part of the mountain, you can go back up. So I went up there with my kids, hoping that we would see our land up there. But it was still off restriction. Went on top of the mountain and the hill and looking at to see where our farm, where we were at. And Tashiro on the old Kwanta did not. They don't want people, especially on top of the mountain, the age off limit, they don't need to tell. I don't know, heaven knows how long this is going to take. It's this, you know, rebuilding the whole mountain, the area that's been burnt. How many years is that going to take to regrow those vegetation? And yet, If you can quote come over. This is between Shiprock and Gallup, and it's just right after road of Highway 491 to the Tashkwande. I'm asking you that for your support and help us. Alert team, they work day in, day out. We're trying to do what we can. So I'm asking you, sit us home.
Well, that gives you a very, very, very clear picture. And again, I'm standing here at Nas Chitty. This is Kel Nez, Nas Chitty chapter. I'm looking inside here. It looks like a very well-organized fire command, names and all of this. And fortunately, some of these people are probably tired and gone home. A few people taking care of hot spots up on the mountain, and thank goodness that now it's like 60% contained. I'm seeing a little bit of smoke and smell some smoke down here, but I'm sure it's nothing nowhere of where it was. But there's quite a bit of food here and water, and you know, basic. I saw a box here with some food in there for one family. They can probably sustain themselves for quite a while on that until they get what's been burnt at their residence on the mountain. Now, you heard from this nice lady who's been here to share her feelings with us. I guess the next question is this. If this is how much food there was, and I'm sure there was, I mean, this is like only about maybe a quarter. How much do you think all the other locations, how much do you think Window Rock took?
Well, as far as I know, counting, I was counting about maybe 12 semi-trucks, but inside information I received was over 22 semi-trucks have been intercepted, and some of them from, like, one, for instance, was from Home Depot. That could have at least built one home for one family. Water troughs, hay, that could have, you know, helped these animals that are in the mountains. I don't know. It's just sickening, disgusting, a headache. You don't know what we went through, what we're going through. And it's not going to stop now. It's not going to stop next week. The longer the vegetation needs to be, how long it takes to regrow, that's how long we're going to suffer with them. So Beninago, you know, like I said, you guys need to understand that. If you don't know where Nashtiri is, Google it. Google it. Come here if you can and stand with us.
And just give us your name, or, you know, I don't know if you want people to contact you, or, you know, how do you want to approach this? Because certainly, yes, those food, I mean, it's just, there's, that's not a question of if or who should have it. It's just, it is a localized, it's this area, they've been appointed, and it should stay here. It's just, there's no brainer. I mean, but, you know, so now, how do you suppose that this could be resolved? You know, 22 semi-loads of stuff is a lot of stuff. Where do you suppose they're stored, and if you want to get it back, where do you want it to go?
You know, I have no answer. Like I said, you know, with all the emotions and frustrations and everything that we have gone through throughout the week, I have no idea where they're taking. I understand there's a warehouse somewhere in Florida Flights that they're taking to. How they're going to disseminate it? Are they going to allow us to have our community go over there and request those that had already belonged to them? It sounds that way. And who is going to buy gas for some of these people from here? It's another hour and a half drive, an hour drive.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not fair. Wear and tear by the ayah eight and he'd never switch it out. He's not over any cash to eight. Kodone not on this hot sun in Bonan and this hot sojita. Ah, did not have a dignity. And how long is it going to take for them to maybe fill out more applications? Are they going to be told come back tomorrow? Are they going to be told maybe another week before they get their supplies or whatever donations that they need? Again, my name is Arlene Shorty. I'm a resident here in Nashtiri, and I'm a volunteer here all week. And with what we're going through and the people are going through is real. It's real. It's happening. We never thought it would happen to us. You know, Mel Stevens. So, and there's a lot of still hot spots here and there, and like I said,
Well, you know what? I don't know if you guys can hear this, but it's pretty clear. I've got this very, very nice gentleman here who I mentioned way earlier. He was wearing a cowboy. Okay, that's her husband. He's been very nice. He's got us a very cool drink of water and very generous. And but I feel honored to be getting some water myself. But they're very kind, you know, what they're trying to do here. And well, all you listeners out there, you know, one crisis begats another crisis. And that secondary crisis is probably a lot to do with just how, how the misunderstanding, how totally unnecessary some of these situations, it's totally just absolutely just makes I can't, there's not even words for it, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so I want to thank everybody here. And Gloria. Okay, Gloria Dennison. Okay. Okay. And I'm going to getting a little hot here. So we're going to, again, for listeners out here, it is about, we're about 19, about 45 minutes left to go in the broadcast, and the internet radio going all over the world. And now I have a listeners. I welcome each and every one of you out there, people who are living off the Navajo Nation, who are living on the Navajo Nation. I was notified, and they were saying to me, hey, there's a situation. There's this going on. Of course, it first started with the fire. Very tragic. People in tears. People were hurting. And people displaced. Homes, you name it. The list just goes on and on and on. It took a long time. The exact situation, the exact things that the Navajo government should be doing to be able to be there to provide solace, to provide hope, to provide care. Well, again, thank goodness to Facebook. And I was going to get into all my political soap opera, but I'm going to dedicate this evening to the local. And I honor I can just imagine how precious that some of these home sites are. Memories are up there, livestock. There's so many emotions to this thing. And now, these are what's happening. These are the situations that are totally unnecessary. Where is the connection? Where is the protocol? Where is this? And it's just unfortunate because these food items given and earmarked to the local people. But I just heard 21 to 22 semi trucks loaded with, and they're into the semi and taken out to Window Rock for Defiance. And people are asking, why are you taking it over there? Well, we're going to save it because in case there's another disaster. And you heard this lady say, I mean, she's just absolutely right on the button. And just as we're standing out here, a yellow school bus from Central Consolidated School has just drove up, number 912. It looks like they're shuttling people from different places. And these are, who are they now?
These are our volunteers, evacuees, and just people in our community. Even as far as certain violations that you're doing. I mean, that's crazy. We're trying to do what we can to help our people, feed our people. And, you know, so far we were able to pass those inspections. And yet,
what do you mean, like, you guys have to pass inspection?
According to the Navajo Nation, anytime when we're serving people, we have to have, everybody has to have a food handler's permit, that food has to be at a certain temperature, food has to be stored in various ways, and how people are going to be served has to be, they have various ways. And this is Husky Bryant, our chapter president.
Ooh, can I tell us what you feel? My name is Chal Nez, and we're on the internet radio right now. And it's going all over the internet world, and people from all over the place. And, awesome. I love these people that are coming up. Let me get a drink here real quickly here, ladies and gentlemen. My mouth is dry. Okay, this is Cal Nez. I am at Nashchiti Chapter. I heard on Facebook there was a problem. Supplies are being taken. Toya Chief's supplies are all gone. Sheep Springs, Newcomb, and we know the story. So, ladies and gentlemen, these people are here. We have a chapter president, and I'll have him tell his story, because what I want to know is that how you guys feel about what's going on and why and how you guys feel. Of course, I've heard from this very nice lady here. She says that all the food has gone over there, and you guys are trying to keep this here at the localized level. So I noticed that. Where are you guys coming from? And introduce yourself, please.
My name is Husky Bryant. We just been to Newcomb. They were going to provide their last supper for this evacuation or evacuees. So we went over there to have a meal and with the people in the community that are affected by this fire. So we appreciate their meal and express our appreciation to them for helping out the communities. And we were informed that their supplies were taken by the tribe, so they were there when we got there. And they asked them, people are here, about 3 or 4 busloads. They can take what they need, and then if whatever's left, you can take it. But they won't budge. They won't let them. So they just took everything. So we enjoyed our meal over there, expressed our appreciation to the people, the volunteers, the district school.
How much do you say, you said they gave you whatever you guys could take with you and you ate, but how much do you suppose that Window Rock took?
We took nothing. They wouldn't let us.
So how much did they take?
I don't know how much it was there. It was pretty full. I remember when I was there, but There's nothing now. Nobody, no community member took anything. They wouldn't allow it.
They would not allow food that was earmarked.
Yeah, food or whatever.
Whatever it was that was donated to give to the local people.
Right.
They wouldn't let them take them. Wow. Just mind-boggling. I've got another gentleman who has a name tag on. His name is Melvin. And Ashin, can you check that for me?
Oh, yeah. My name is Melvin Stevens. I've been tasked with the position of being the incident commander for this whole operation here from day one when we started our evacuation on Sunday. And we've been here since then running this operation, forming together, organizing our resources. We even developed our own organizational chart as to who's going to be in charge, and we divided up everything from logistics down to the planning section all the way down to our finances. And right under them, there became came the volunteers. So the majority of the people here are volunteers, and just like our president here was saying, the chapter president, we just got back from Newcomb to enjoy the last meal that they were serving. To my understanding, the firefighters are going to be moving out after tomorrow, so they're going to be relocating to Crystal. So the operation over there was primarily, majority of it was towards the firefighters to accommodate, and then they also provided us a shelter for some of our evacuees, and they put them up for a while. They provided stuff through Red Cross and other donations that were coming in from various sources, and the donations were earmarked for us, and even here, we've had quite a number of people bring in donations to give out to our people, and mainly that's what we've been doing. So we are highly impacted in this area. We have residents here that are emotionally traumatized. Some have been displaced. Now they can't go back up there to a summer home. Homes have been destroyed. Livestock, some are still wandering around up there in the mountains. And they have no way of going up there to monitor them or to take care of them because the firefighters are still up there. They're still doing what they have to do to suppress the fire. And as of today, or as of last night, they told us they're at 60%, but it doesn't really mean that the fire is out yet. So the people are the understanding. And my job was to come between the people and the firefighters and to pass on important information of that sort. So that's what I've been doing on a daily basis, even though, you know, it's been tiresome, lack of sleep, limited sleep, and we have to take care of our community here. So,
well, can you just give us some information about, you know, because one of the things that I'm hearing on Facebook is basically how I heard about it. Facebook, somebody said, hey, there's a problem. Window Rock has come in and basically, for lack of a better term, confiscated all the food items from the various locations. Who do you think gave that order and why, and what's the reasoning do you suppose behind that move?
I believe it's all generated because of the declaration of emergency was declared by the Navajo Nation president, and therefore Department of Emergency Management is saying that this is a Navajo Nation disaster and we have to be in charge, but yet they don't understand that we as a community being a part of the Navajo Nation are the ones that are primarily and highly affected by this. And to me, it doesn't make no sense in hauling all the supplies over the mountain away from the highly impacted area and expecting us to go through a bureaucratic process of filling out forms and then, you know, putting it before a review board to determine whether it's okay or not. You know, the needs are here, the people need it. And as such, some of the donors have specifically expressed that they will bring their donations here, and they have done that. And that has been very superficial here. And we have been, you know, we're very grateful that they did because we did put it to use. We have used all that towards our elderly, the people that have been mostly affected. So they are, I mean, we've just been catering to them. And now they're taking out another part of our process, the healing process, away from us. So, and it's causing a lot more emotional pain. The people here are wondering why the Navajo Nation is doing this to themselves, to their own people. And
Yeah. Well, you know, basically you hear it. Again, this is Cal Nez, and we are on Navajo Politics Radio, being broadcast all over the world. And this is going to be archived and information, and anybody wants to listen to this show after, they're welcome to do so. We had an unfortunate situation. We had the fire, a lot of people displaced, and there was a call out by the Navajo people here locally, I suppose, and I saw it myself. I participated on that on the internet and said, you guys take stuff down to these are the locations. And so now I've been traveling the Navajo Nation, then I hear this on Facebook. I'm here. I drove all the way here from Chichilca. We just took off and drove up here, and sure enough, this is the only place that we're seeing, and these are some fine people. Now, the reality is this. You know, the fire wasn't their fault. They lost. They're trying to find peace and trying to settle back in. I saw people coming off the bus and communicating communities sharing resources and so forth and so forth. But the nucleus of this was that there's foods and items that I help participate on the internet to tell people to come down here. Obviously, it's for people here, these people that are affected. The way I would see it is if somebody comes down, a family, you take that food, chop it all up, everybody, let them use it up here. But it makes no sense, Window Rock, Arizona, coming in and saying, we're going to confiscate. Oh, it's almost like a confiscation. Now, you said, Mr. Bryant, they were down in Newcomb, and you could not get any of the food. They would not let you take it. But they let you eat a few nibbles just to kind of say...
It was from the district school. So they can't do nothing about it because this was a district and the state provided. It wasn't a donation for the fire. Yeah. So other that were donation, that's what they took.
The other supply is what they took from there while we were there.
Yeah, and we saw firsthand, and while we were eating, we got the word.
Again.
We got the word that there was people from the tribe over there loading up all the water supplies and what was donated to the people, and they just packed them up and took them down to Wonder Rock. So they tried to leave some clothing behind, and the Dr. Bowman over there just told them, if you're going to take everything, just take everything. So and in the end, there was nothing there. We had a little session afterwards. And we thank the Central Consolidated School District number 22 for their help. I mean, they were very instrumental in this.
What should they have done? What do you think that Window Rock should have done?
I think Window Rock should have made that decision that this is where the need is, and they should have just disseminated that information to us for us to pick up all that stuff and bring it here to distribute among the people that's most affected.
Yeah. Just real quick, what's your name and what do you think? Do you agree?
Oh, yes, I definitely agree.
Tell us what you think.
Well,
who should have gone to?
The people here, the majority of the evacuees that are here.
And
they should have got. My name is Carol Edison. I'm the office assistant here.
Wow. Okay, so there's another one. I've got another gentleman here. And, you know, again, I'm just going to ask just people in general what you guys think. Again, this is Cal Nez, and we are at the Nash City chapter. And go ahead. I mean, what should have happened here? What should the Window Rock done?
Window Rock, the people from Window Rock, the never cause to jump in the yet high quite when as I don't know. It should not happen. Unexpected thing that happened. So never one this I just I seen no. We left our horses, we left our cattle, dogs, we left everything in the house. We just left at night, Saturday night. So, they never caught. Oh, with the night, other sneaky hot in the air, have a car store, Japanese, and they from Wonder Rock official. And I, President Shelley, should have helped Nash City community. The way they were going to get to the end is chunk, they are the whole council. Well, in the city, I didn't chance to lead out of the Shade on this is in the doctor on a Randy Chim Shatnet. This is 7 days ago. Seven evenings ago. Baby Stuart at a banan star. I'm worried. Shay Shay Bashuni. So I had only laid in a cut of Sydney Shay the Penhalas because you came as Shandy. Kare Kondo Tano, I don't know what the Ninsti. I thought they had a life in he get a hot loan of the left. Had either been night or less in the heart to draw part of that. Had this been now what death at his other head, I sent a star to hospital. The Havan talked to some Havan Yaf kid only. I said, I need a single guy to have the Kaito Kulani. Actually, they are there about maybe about five places or seven homes that are there. Children get this cohort in Trano. Other she, Jiggy, just by herself, and she was there.
Of course, George. I'm really, really sorry that happened to you. Ako, di could away soon that What did you get anything from this?
Yeah, I let out the aircon to cool this. No, that I couldn't. I let him say on the side. So, told that a cold day, I thought the method of a job of one sarkis or that was early, Ninka Athanese, and he gathered us lay from all over the world. Dead and the best of them didn't the yet he is still shaped. I could eat in yonder from his uncle, guest for the fishing, may I guess, would eat all that. That's for he that is a righteous ground, the hell resident who will add the may each day. That's then he don't eat dog, get old from his father's don't in day, but he said he hadn't Ninka the dog's back.
What was your name?
Thomas Benali, Nash City, from Nash City, New Mexico. Okay.
So, Ada, I'm really, really just, and you know, these are the type of heartbreaking information. So, I just met the Nedo Tragishi. Joy was told Nick at your great joy, I would open the people. All your Jane Isna, and to kiss me Isna. Joy was told he didn't, you know, imagine he just opened up his corral and let his horse out. Yeah, Nick could have. I'm sure that, you know, I should have quit by not so though, and she, I tell you what, there's enough food that I can see that this gentleman he could have just, you know, I see enough family members here that they could have gotten all sorts of sustenance beyond just the little bit that they're getting.
Thank you very much.
And now I'm just going to walk around what's your thoughts on this whole thing about the Window Rock intervention?
Well, first of all, I disagree with what's going on. In the first place, where were they? Our own people were evacuating our community. And we were racing around trying to look for family members, our livestock, and the tears in our eyes seeing that fire. Can you imagine how emotional this is? Across the Navajo Nation, that's for our evacuees. That's all I want to say, because I think this is a message to us to continue to come together, reunite, embrace, and stick together. That's the way I see it.
Well, would you mind giving us your name? Okay, she didn't want to. Yeah, of course, this is very, very, very emotional. And I've got this one gentleman. Here's one of the famous news media, Alistair Batui from Navajo Times. There you go. Listen to him. So, Shailana. So, and I've got all these people. And anybody else want to? What's your thoughts?
On what?
What's going on here?
I was too busy to notice, but it was chaotic. I think people needed administration for their support, but nobody came other than just reps. Didn't give us much of any other than just say, be strong, stay together. That's okay, but people needed more help than just that. How could it? But we were so organized. We did everything we needed to make sure our people receive what they needed, even though temporary, permanent bases or displaced people were put up in shelters where they should be, and everybody's comfortable. We work together. We stay together. We're going to stay together.
So should Window Rock have taken some of the supplies?
I hear that they have. I don't know if they did, how much they took, how they're going to use it, where they're going to use it. I don't care, but we're not going to starve.
Yeah. So, again, the resiliency of all the community members here. So, you know what? Ladies and gentlemen, I am absolutely, this is the Navajo Internet Radio that's going all over the world. And my name is Cal Nez, and I'm here on location here at the Nosh Chitty chapter. Yes, I'm Cal Nez. So we're broadcasting. I was going to talk about some of my politics on the thing, but you know what? That's really not important right now. Say the Navajo people at the localized level. All of this, and it should have never, never happened. Central government should be here to support the local people. This is their territory. The money and the food and whatever was given to them, this rightfully belongs to the people. And to go out there and to take it to Window Rock is really, really, absolutely just makes no sense. And I appreciate all and everybody out there. You know, there is a crisis, and where it should be uniting. Here's a situation where the localized level, the localized people, their information, their rights, and their whatever was given to them, they should be the ones to be dictating where this money go. And I've got some nice people here again also. What's your thoughts on why Window Rock's taking food?
Well, I am pretty upset about it because we're the victims here, and we hardly got anything. And I don't think Window Rock should have taken the stuff that was donated from our chapters. And the other areas that were helping us, they took all the donations and took it back to Window Rock.
Yeah. And your name?
Isabel.
Okay, Isabel. See, they're very careful for the fact that, you know what? You know, this really shouldn't have to be. So, Joy, and we have just about 20 minutes left. And I don't know how many callers that are here. And I've got this this Bilagana guy. His name is Peter A. Dakiani. Dakwani. And he almost looks, you know, he kind of almost looks official, but he's got surely some mismatched clothes. And what makes him unofficial is the long hair. So he looks like he just came out of the woodworks chasing what, Sasquatch, no, maybe? Bigfoot, yes. How are you?
Okay.
Could you tell us about what's going on? This is Cal Nez, and we're doing the Internet radio, and it's going all over the world. We heard about the happenings around here. What's going on? What have you heard?
Well, it's not what I've heard. I've been keeping these people updated multiple times every day because I want them to...
Your name, then?
Peter DeQuani. And I am an information officer with the fire team that's here. And I have been keeping these people updated every day about the progress of the fire, how much containment is on the fire, what we've been doing on the fire. And I've been here since Monday morning, and I've been living here. I have not left here.
Wow. You know, I've got to be impressed now that so give us a status. I mean, I see a little bit of smoke coming down. I hear it's about 60% contained. What's going on?
Okay. It's 65% contained. And even if it was 100% contained right now, you would still see smoke up there. Okay? Containment does not mean that the fire is out. It just means that we feel that the fire is safe enough where it cannot jump the line. But there is going to be fire up on that mountain until – some fire up on that mountain until the rains come. So probably sometime in July is when it will totally go out, okay? But it's not going to go out before then, totally.
Yeah. You know, looking in from the outside, one of the things that I was very, very much interested was that about how much has the fire consumed – now, you know, are there still crews up there? Could you give us an update on that?
The fire is right now and has been for the last 2 days, 14,711 acres. Firefighters are going in every day early in the morning, and I just passed, as I was coming down, I was just passing some engines coming out. So they make that track every day. They spend about a dozen hours at least up there, and they're working hard. They're working hard to put out as many of those hot spots to increase our containment so we can feel like this fire is not going to escape. Now, we have let some firefighters go because we don't need 800 firefighters in the space of about 3 or 4 miles. Okay, but the fire is doing very well. We've gotten people in much closer. A lot of people went back to their homes today. A lot of people that were called evacuees, even though there was never an official evacuation. A lot of people that went back to their homes today. And, in fact, there were 11, I think there were 11 people in the senior center last night, and there's one tonight.
Now, let's say I drove up there right now. Any estimates on how many homes, how many, is there any animals affected, any lives affected, anything on that?
Well, 5 homes have been lost. Those have been verified. The people who own those homes have been notified. We have walked all over that. In fact, some of the officials here have gone up there. And we don't believe we're going to find any other homes affected. The land itself, this fire, the majority of that 14,000-plus acres was what we refer to as a low-intensity burn. And what that means is that the fire burned along the floor of the forest and did not take out all the trees. Don't get me wrong. There are some sections where it was a very high-intensity burn, and it was and the fire was very hot. Some of those trees were just totally nuked out, you know, totally taken out. And that ground in those areas is not going to be very useful for a very long time. But we believe that the majority of the ground is going to be probably better off once the rains come because it adds nutrients. And that fire is a natural nutrient for the forest, as long as it doesn't get so hot that it burns 6, 8, 10 inches deep.
Has it ever been determined who caused it?
It's definitely human caused. It's under investigation, but no leads at this point, as far as I know. It's still under investigation.
Yeah. So, if it weren't for the wind, it would have been probably much smaller, right? Is that
Yeah, if it wasn't for the wind, the fire probably would have been spotted. Your local fire department or BIA would have been able to go in there and probably put it out. But the wind, you had what we refer to as a wind event, and it started on Saturday, and it just made that fire take off. I mean, that fire grew, oh, probably 10,000 acres on Saturday.
Yeah, again, this is Cal Nez. I'm here in Nosh City Chapter in Nosh City, New Mexico, and I've got this gentleman, and identify yourself. Excuse me. Identify yourself again, and, you know, so all the people who just joined us, we're talking about the Asayit fire, who's literally has jumped the mountain over here. And so, yeah, just kind of give us, you know, who you are again, so for the late two are joining us here.
Okay. I am an information officer on the Southwest Incident Management Team. And we recognized that these were the people that were affected, especially Sheep Springs and Nosh City. So we needed somebody over here who could keep them informed because there were so many people that were displaced initially. I mean, they didn't need to hear that you need to evacuate. They saw that fire come over the mountain, and they said, I think I better get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good, and I do appreciate it. And, of course, I was teasing you earlier, and I'm sure you've given all sorts of wonderful news. You seem to be very, very straight up with people, and that's what's that for. Do you have any insight on the food situation about what Window Rock? Do you hear anything about that? Do you know anything about that? You're staying out of that.
That's politics.
Yeah, politics. Okay. Now, the next thing is just real quickly. We have about 10 minutes in our show here. Let me, how many firefighters and units or whatever you call it, how many people were here?
Well, at one point in time, there was over 800. And now we're down to 5-something. And I'm sure tomorrow it will be less than that. We're on the downslope on this fire. So as we complete more and more line, we're letting more and more resources go, okay? We're not letting so much go that we don't have enough if something should happen and this fire should decide to take off again. But we have specific weather reports. We have our own weatherman, and he does not foresee any major wind event in the near future. And so we feel really pretty confident that we're going to be able to button this up in the next several days. We'll probably be out of here toward the end of this week.
Yes, that is very good to know. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that. And we're pretty much done here. And any last thing you would like to share, and then we'll sign off.
Well, thanks again for listening, and we didn't expect this to happen on our mountain, and it was very sad that it happened, and how much our people were hurt, and just being among them, seeing them shed their tears, feeling down, and we've been trying to do what we can to comfort them, talk with them, and even feeding them. Giving them what we can to make them, you know, happy. And with all the people that's been coming in, talking to them and helping them. And, you know, I really appreciate that so much. And out in the media world, I wish you could, you know, continue to let be aware of what Navajo Nation is capable of. And even though we're a certified chapter, we're pretty much self-governed, and we're trying to do what we can for our people, and yet they're still holding on to us, and it's not fair, it's not right. Those donations that were earmarked for this specific operation have been intercepted. They should have been here. There's CC grandmas here that they should have, you know, used those, and yet who else is going to use that? We don't know.
Well, that pretty much, you know, really absolutely sums it all up there. So, again, thank you very much. And we're going to keep on top of this, and we'll get over here. Let me see. I'm moving away from the audience. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen out there at Excellent Society, that gives you a very good picture of what's going on, some of the unnecessary sidebar, and I'm just absolutely just in awe, you know. Boy, my name is Cal Nev. And this whole area is my, you know, people. I am in, you know, I understand. I feel like these are part of family and people that I've associated with when I was a little boy here. And being out here on the campaign trail, you know, I saw the smoke. I participated in the internet, asked people, made my own connections, sent people out here, asked people to pray. I've asked this and that, and have been heavily involved. And I'm glad the Navajo people and the world has basically stepped up to help these people. And you heard the weather report. You heard the smoke. I still see a little bit of the smoke going on up there. I see people, there's cars here, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 26, 28, 30, 32, 34, 30. So about 40, 50 cars. I see police cars here. I see ambulance, two ambulances from the Navajo Nation EMTs. There's a large crowd. I was the first person here on site. I've got one Navajo reporter, Navajo Times reporter here, and people were very, very frustrated, very, very upset, tears being shed. And, of course, I just wanted to report on this because somebody said, hey, ladies and gentlemen, we hear that this is going on. And, but I don't want to, and I'm witnessing this. It's very, very cool. Can you take picture of the, as I'm watching this, that window rock is probably not going to take any more. We hope not anyway. But for some reason, they took 22 semi-loads of supplies that was earmarked for this community. And right now, we've got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, about 30 people standing in line. Most likely these are people in the local community. This place, and you know, and this is what rightfully should be taking place, is that the waters and the supplies are being given to the families, and which I'm glad to see, rather than just being packed away or being taken to Window Rock. And so I wanted to say that I am extremely very concerned about this. And so I will talk to you tomorrow night, and I will be on the KTNN forum in Tuba City, Arizona. And we don't know what questions, but we're probably going to get 1 minute apiece because now there's 17. Last time we had 13, and even then we had a lot of, you know, it just was not very much. But I will be on air and keep listening because the movement is still taking place. We're still moving forward. We're still going to make this thing happen. And this right here is part of the reason why that central government and local government needs to come together. Right now, things are not exactly functioning as they should be. And I think that there's good intention that has just gone awry. And those are the type of things of why that I decided to come in and to assist. Another thing on the sidebar that, you know, that has happened. And it's really, really unfortunate. And so today I am here as a reporter, so to speak, and I didn't expect to be, but my next show, I will definitely be talking about some of the platform. But this platform item is just the disconnect to have a situation like this. The local government, Quoted Nebijin, the Hazdib, the Hazakuda chapters, Arobogan, Do Ponda, Arobid, the Bebenar, Sos, Heshinko, Hutoi, Ho One, Edo Dow, Kayahonas, Neljoe, Debitadeti, Ako, Dequajin, Fudo, Kodata, Ekro, Nebe, Babakat, or Wahien, Kodoid, or Windorak, Go Honda, A, Anade, Ye, no. See, just right there is just that one of the things that I've been talking about that should not be happening. So, again, I will be at the Tuba City Presidential Forum. I believe in you. I will continue to stand for you. I love my people. And again, for those that have just joined us, my clan is Tachini, which was a misprint on the Navajo Times. And Yolanda Francisco Nez, again, this is Cal Ness, the presidential candidate for the Navajo 2014, and we've spent 2 hours driving in from Gallup, New Mexico, and we are now in Nash City. We shook people's hand, and things seem to be on the upswing here, and water being given out. And thank you very much, Cal Nez, standing up, and elect Cal Nez for the Navajo Nation President 2014 on August 26th. Have a wonderful week, and I'll be in touch with you. Bye-bye.